SFM.
Supported by Southern Co-op.
We are passionately pumping.
Beginnings, look forward, work together to create a Portsmouth Football Club that we can all be proud to be associated with.
Pure, unadulterated pumping.
It's a massive club, it's a massive opportunity for me. I know this atmosphere is special. I can't wait to see a full house and it rocking.
Action and reaction.
This is Hughes Football Club. We're here to be hopefully successful. The infrastructure's changing, so really we want to start pushing forward and making Portsmouth a real force.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
It's a club with a rich tradition, a rich heritage, but one that has an excellent relationship with its supporters.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
The Blues are setting the pace in League One and sit pretty at the top of the table after yet another victory.
Cardiff will get the second ball outside the box to Tunnicliffe. Chance for Tunnicliffe. Deflected shot into the net. First Pompey goal for Ryan Tunnicliffe. He's been magnificent in his opening three matches in his Pompey career. Now he has a goal to show for his efforts.
That's three wins from three for Pompey now, who have done so without conceding a single goal. Despite that result in midweek, head coach Danny Cowley is remaining grounded and still insists that there is work to do.
We lost some control in the second half. I think if we're honest, we're pleased with the resilience we showed, but we need to play better than that if we want to achieve what we want to this season.
And tonight, we also want to hear from you back home, the voices that matter the most. Have Pompey become more enjoyable to watch since the change in management? Who was your man of the match in Tuesday's 1-0 victory over Shrewsbury? And do you think the Blues have what it takes to make it four league wins in a row when they travel to Doncaster this weekend? Find out just how to get in touch tonight by sticking around and leaving those radios alone. A very good evening to you wherever you may be tuning in from. You're listening to the Football Hour on Express FM.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome to another instalment of the Football Hour here on the only radio station proud to be based on the great waterfront city of Portsmouth, Express FM. As always, we've got plenty to get through this evening and we are keen to hear the thoughts and questions of those who are responsible for keeping this show going. That's you, of course, the magnificent Pompey fans back home. Be it an opinion on Tuesday's game at Fratton, a burning question you'd like us to answer, or a score prediction for this weekend's match, do not hesitate to get involved tonight. To do so, you can either send your name and message to 81400, starting those texts with the word Express. You can email pompey@expressfm.com or head to social media. It's at ExpressFM on Twitter and on Facebook. Head to facebook.com/PompeyLive. In midweek, PO4 opened its gates to over 14,000 Blues fans for the first dosage of floodlit Fratton football of this new season. Shrewsbury were in town and the commentary of that game here on Express FM was brought to you by our colleagues from Radio Solent, Andy Moon and Guy Whittingham.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
A wonderful goal!
Every second of the action is right here.
Shoot and scores!
90 minutes of passionately Pompey commentary.
He's gone!
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
Fratton Park under the lights with fans in. How we have missed it and how so many are looking forward to returning to their old seats on what should have been a balmy summer's evening, but they're going to be pleased that they brought their coat tonight to hopefully watch Portsmouth make it three wins from three. And it might sound a simple statistic, but it's something they have managed just once in 33 years. Tunnicliffe just turns it around the corner, looking for Harness. Harness will get the second ball outside the box to Tunnicliffe. Chance for Tunnicliffe. Deflected shot into the net. First Pompey goal for Ryan Tunnicliffe. He's been magnificent in his opening three matches in his Pompey career. Now he has a goal to show for his efforts. And Portsmouth ahead inside 3 minutes. Portsmouth 1, Shrewsbury 0. Harness flicks it on. Hackett Fairchild gets to the ball and can't get a clean shot on goal. He puts it well wide. Still 1-0. Pompey have it through Marquis in the Shrewsbury. Penalty error goes down under the challenge from Pierre. Referee not interested and it's cleared away. Udo, he's threatening to take a shot from a wide angle loose outside the box. Vela's shot, good save for Zuno. Oh, Marquis is given away in the area. Chipped to the far post. Header is saved brilliantly by Zuno. And Ogilvie clears away. And Trevor Kettle decides that will do. The whistle goes. Portsmouth have won three games in a row to start the season for just the second time in 33 years. Another win, another clean sheet. 9 points for Danny Cowley's team to start the season. Portsmouth have beaten Shrewsbury by a goal to nil.
Every second of the action is right here. This is 93.7 Express FM. Pompey Live.
Tuesday's 1-0 win for the Blues over Steve Cottrell's rock-bottom Shrews lifted Pompey into first place in League One, as previous leaders Wickham were held to a 1-1 draw at Wigan. Elsewhere, Accrington Stanley beat tomorrow's opponents Doncaster by a goal to nil. Sunderland were beaten 1-0 away to Burton Albion. Title favourites and supposedly best team in the division, Ipswich, extend their winless run to the season to 4 matches in League and Cup. They've picked up just 1 league point so far. MK defeated Charlton 2-1 and Sheffield Wednesday were 1-0 victors over Fleetwood. Joining me tonight to go over Tuesday's win for Pompey, first of all, I am pleased to welcome back Rhys Harding for the new season. Rhys, thank you for calling in this evening.
Thank you for having me.
And alongside you tonight, Rhys, we have Freddie Webb once again returning for the new campaign. Freddie, likewise, my friend, great to have you back on the show.
Always a pleasure, Jake. Thanks for having me on.
So let's throw it back to Tuesday night then, Rhys, and 3 consecutive league victories for Pompey, all without conceding a single goal. So let's start with that defence, a defence which has looked pretty assured since the start of the campaign.
Yeah, definitely. You know, you couldn't ask for a better start, although the Shrewsbury game was definitely, you could tell that they're a decent side. I think we did well to hold on, especially at the end where there was those 11 added minutes. But you've got to, you know, as much as you've got to score the goals, you've got to, you know, make sure you're good in defence as well. And that couldn't be more highlighted through the 3 clean sheets that we've got already, and you can really see that the glue is coming together in that defence, because I think he's really getting the best out of them, and I don't really think there's much weakness in that defence at the moment.
No, and you know, Rhys alludes to there, Freddie, 8 minutes of added time, which turned into 11, possibly 12. Where that came from, no idea. Just 4 minutes out of nowhere added on, really set up for a dramatic and a nervy ending to the match on Tuesday night for Pompey. But in terms of how the Blues saw out the game, saw out the victory, were you confident with the manner of which they did so?
Yeah, it was definitely nail-biting with the extra added time minutes added on. Again, I have no idea where they came from. But yeah, I was confident that Pompey would hold it out. As much as Fleetwood grew into the second half, being very physical, winning the ball back in the midfield very well to create their chances, not a lot of them were clear cut. I think the one that was most likely to be a goal was Aaron Pierre's header, which presumably made an excellent save from. Yeah, even with the added time, I had no worries at all, because as Rhys mentioned, the defence was absolutely rock solid for the entire game.
Nigel Rush on Twitter has got involved this afternoon. Thank you for getting in touch, Nigel. He says, I don't think we should get too carried away after 3 games. There are some great teams in our league this year and we haven't played any of them yet. It's going to be great. We will need to be at our very best every single week. Woe betide us if we aren't. Play up Pompey. Nigel Rush on Twitter. And Rhys, it's hard to disagree with that. Whilst Pompey have had a fantastic start to the new season, you know, you can only beat what's in front of you, that is true. But, you know, the reality is we haven't played any of the sides yet that are expected to be at the top end of the table. So there is a long way to go, 43 matches still to play. Certainly now not a time to get too carried away and look at that position at the top of the table and think that's where we're going to stay for the next 9 months, because in reality it's not.
Definitely. I mean, you look at our position now, we've got to be happy with the direction we're going, but we've also got to be cautious that actually, like you say, we can't be too carried away. I mean, look at the last few seasons. I mean, we've been top of the table on 2 occasions at Christmas, and then, you know, that's not where we've ended at the end of the season. So where we're in this position now, we've got to, you know, keep our heads focused. And actually, if we keep playing the way we're playing, and I'm sure we will hopefully improve as the season goes on, then we can put up a fight against the teams that we should be, you know, really challenging against at the top of the table. But it's all good signs, and there's, you know, we can all be positive now and everything, because I think the football that we're putting on and we're showing is, you know, it's not like we're just getting away with these games. We're actually putting in a good shift. So it does leave me confident, although, you know, you can't look at it with tinted glasses. We have got a long way to go, like you say.
Yeah. And you know, we laugh at, you know, other teams that are not doing well at the moment. Freddie, you know, Ipswich haven't won a single game this season. But it is all about how you end a campaign as opposed to how you start it or where you are at Christmas, like, you know, Reece perfectly sums up there. We've been in this position before and we have ended the campaign in heartbreak. But for the moment, living in the moment, which is where we are right now, some real promising signs that this team, under the new management, with a different style of play, is something we can pretty much all get behind. And it's just so nice and refreshing to be talking about something positive after what we have endured over the last couple of seasons. And there's real hope and there's real belief around Fratton Park now that perhaps this could finally be the year we get promoted to the Championship.
Potentially, yeah. It's been extremely positive, and I've been very, very grateful for it. I think the most positive thing for me, looking at across the games, is Pompey have won those three games with those clean sheets in three different scenarios. Fleetwood in the first half, obviously, with Williams not playing. It was very tight. It was very rough. Fleetwood were on top of the blue scene for most of the game, but Pompey took their chances, changed the formation a bit. Crewe dominated possession, had the majority of chances, and completely did very well in that game. And then Shrewsbury, where Pompey had the amazing start, but then were under the cosh in the second half against a physical side that was always difficult to beat. So, no, there are so many positives. But like Danny Cowley said in his, after the game against Shrewsbury, Pompey are far from the finished article. This is a new team with new players gelling together, and there are lots of things to work on. But yeah, there are so many positives to take already.
Certainly a work in progress, and still with somewhat 11 days of the transfer window, as it's still open, certainly areas for improvement within the team. And I'm sure Danny Cowley is really looking at bringing in some more players, if only for backup for the squad that we've got so far. Let's read out a couple of text tweets and emails coming into us at the early stages of tonight's show. Then Matt Wheatley: hi Jake and team, great listening to your shows and hearing the views of your guests and other Pompey fans. Keeps me attuned with goings on at Fratton Park from the other side of the world. We've made a great start to the season, and I wouldn't be too disappointed with a draw at Doncaster tomorrow. They've not had a great start, but will still pose a threat with the players that they've got. I think we'll add a Waddle draw and keep our unbeaten run going, which will keep up the confidence levels and stand us in good stead for the game at Wigan. With a few more signings, we could be in for a good season. Play at Pompey. Matt Wheatley in Canberra. Thank you for getting in touch tonight, Matt. Hope you're well. Thank you for tuning in. Great to hear from you, and great to hear your commitment from, you know, the other side of the world. Fantastic stuff. And, you know, highlighted within that email, Reece, with a few more signings, we could be in for a good season. And, you know, nothing's won or lost in August, but certainly work to do. Where do you think within this Pompey team, if not perhaps for starting 11, but certainly on the bench and in the reserves, where do you think needs strengthening the most in terms of areas on the pitch?
I think the one position that sort of jumps out at me more than others is maybe a number 10, because we got Rico there. He played just behind Marquis against Shrewsbury and stuff like that. And he's doing well, but he's, I think some of the decision making and some of the, it just needs to be a little bit quicker. And, you know, we saw the chance he missed when he was, I think it was just one-on-one with a keeper, basically, against Shrewsbury too. Really, the midfield is very solid, I think. You know, everyone wants Ben Thompson. You know, I dare mention his name. Everyone would love him. But the defence has done well as well. I really think that the number 10 is maybe the position that it would bring the rest of the midfield together. Mm. Like, I think it's great already, but actually I think that by doing that, you might be able to tie, you know, really tie the attack together. And that's probably the only place where I would really look at, you know, definitely signing someone. But yeah.
Yeah, it goes without saying, Freddie, but looking at Pompey's squad, there is no real natural number 10, if you want to call it that, central attacking midfielder, which you'd look at in that team and go, yeah, that is his strongest position. How have you assessed the performances of the likes of Marcus Harness and Rico Hackett-Fairchild, as Reece mentions there? How would you assess how they've started the season? Because three league wins in a row, a decent performance up at Millwall too. Is that a position that you agree Pompey need to strengthen, or do we already have the calibre of players to fill that hole?
I think it would depend on which direction the manager wants to go. I thought Hackett-Fairchild has been playing extremely well, especially in the number 10 role, considering last season he had a very difficult loan spell at Southend. Not the best environment to develop as a player in the relegation battle, technically in any way, mentally possibly. But he did very well drifting into space a lot off the ball, which I thought he did very well at. And Marcus Harness has definitely got the technical ability to play at CAM, able to shift ball onto both feet, excellent range of passing. But it depends if the manager wants to strengthen the number 10 position with an out-and-out playmaker, because Morrell usually plays slightly deeper. Mm. So if you want to fit Morrell into Williams and Tunnicliffe, you'd have to go for 4-3-3. One player that comes to mind who's on the free, Dan Crowley. No, I'm not mistaking him with the manager. It's a very similar name.
That could get confusing.
Play for Birmingham City and Hull City, and as far as I know, he's still on the free. So that's the exact sort of player who would definitely slot into that number 10 if Pompey were to strengthen that position. Yeah. Otherwise, maybe a backup centre-half. I liked how Ogilvie's played at centre-half, but he's used to playing centre-half in a back three instead of a conventional back four. And I think you'll get more out of him playing at left back and swapping with Lee Brown a few times. So if they want to go for a cheaper role, a backup centre-half, a young centre-half with potential, or if they want to splash out a bit at number 10.
An email here from Linda Mayle. Good hard-fought win on Tuesday, although it wasn't a free-flowing attacking football like we played against Crewe. Shrewsbury were a physical team and we didn't get a lot of protection from the referee. Probably last season we would not have won that and we would have caved in. Shrewsbury were unlucky not to get a draw, and we have a last-minute save by Gavin Bazunu to thank for that. Hopefully we can continue our winning start to the season tomorrow. Play up Pompey, Linda Mayle on the emails. And Freddie, really hard to disagree with anything that Linda's mentioned there within that email. We won't start talking about the referee yet because we've got a break coming up, but really in terms of how Pompey had to adapt their tactics to a style of play that Shrewsbury liked to play, and really highlighting that maybe under a previous regime in previous seasons we would have caved or we would have conceded within the dying embers of that game, but we didn't. And this is the new look Pompey squad, which appears now to have the confidence and momentum to withstand any sort of, you know, intense battle that they are going to face, no matter what position. This team just seems to just like winning.
Yeah, it's definitely a mentality thing. I've talked about Pompey winning ugly before, and the difference under the previous regime, I think, was we were winning ugly with a settled team a lot of the time, and there was always that thought in the back of my head and some of the other fans' heads was, in the key game, in the key moment, it's going to turn and it will come back to bite the team. But at the moment, it's definitely not there. It's a new side with new players and new partnerships across the pitch with a few familiar faces. And already they're showing they've dealt with multiple situations. They've dealt with intense pressure from both sides and have passed pretty much every test they've had so far. And like you said, I thought Bazunu had a great game against Shrewsbury. Yeah. It's clearly obvious the stylistic fit for the keeper that the Cowley's won, Bazunu definitely has that with the range of distribution and that exit save in the last minute. So definitely resilient, like the caller said.
Okay, hold those thoughts, because after the break we'll be taking a listen to the post-match reaction of Danny Cowley, who assessed Pompey's performance against Shrewsbury, highlighting the need to improve in certain areas in order to maintain that position at the top of the table.
When you lose the momentum like we did towards the end of the game, then you have to try to see it out, and yeah, we did that and we're pleased about that. But if we're staying true to ourselves and we're staying talking about process and not performance, there's some things that we can do better in the process.
So don't go anywhere. The three of us will be back in just a moment here on Express FM for part two of tonight's show.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back and thank you for choosing Express FM. This is the Football Hour with myself, Jake Smith, joined alongside Pompey fans Rhys Harding and Freddie Webb. And before the break, we read out an email from Linda Mayle, who highlighted the difference between Saturday's win over Crewe at Fratton Park, a game which ended 2-0, and Tuesday's victory over Shrewsbury, which of course ended 1-0 in favour of the Blues. And Freddie, the difference between those games really came down to the fact that Crewe, they are an expansive team. They like to go forward at every single given opportunity. And they were building from the back, on the floor, trying to play football, I guess you could say, the correct way. Shrewsbury, they had a different approach, a 4-4-2 formation. And as Ryan Stilwell summed it up perfectly on Tuesday night, a real air raid approach to Pompey's defence. So we talk about Pompey's performance and how perhaps it wasn't as good as last Saturday, but is the reason for that because of the way that the opponents set out? Is that something you can get on board with?
I think so, to a certain extent. I definitely thought Shrewsbury were much better in the second half, winning the second ball and winning the tackles in midfield. That was one of the big things that I noticed. And with the more direct style of play, Pompey hadn't dealt with that yet, I don't think. So that was definitely a new thing, which a lot of the players, some of them weren't as used to, but I will say, particularly Sean Ragger dealt with that excellently. I think I've looked up his total stats this season, and he's won 85% of his aerial duels, so all of his headers, and that's at all comes according to White Scout. So, it was definitely a different challenge in that game, but I think Pompey managed it, and with Shrewsbury home players like Sam Crosgrove up front, and Luke Leahy as well, running into space where those direct balls were going, they were definitely a threat, but Pompey managed to deal with that very well.
Yeah. Again, the difference between those two matches, Rhys, you know, the setup of Shrewsbury forced Pompey to change their own approach. Against Crewe, they were able to really force the errors in Crewe's own half and really force them to play the ball rather than, you know, loft it up at top and play a different style. Whereas against Shrewsbury, they had to deal with those aerial threats a little bit more. And as you know, Freddie points out, Sean Raggett has just been a completely different player this season under his former boss. Is this something that over the last three or four matches, you know, to the start of this campaign, thinking back to that Fleetwood game where we found ourselves goalless at the break, changed things up at half-time, went on to win the match, is this a clear difference you can see between Danny Cowley and the previous regime as to how Pompey are seeing out these victories? Sometimes it may not be pretty, but you do have to win ugly if you want to be the best sometimes.
Exactly. And I definitely see that as a difference. I think against Crewe, we got that one goal, two goal. It was that momentum. And, you know, like you say, we were forcing the errors on Crewe. They were making interesting passes, you know, that was going off the pitch. And you know, we were making them lose their possession. And when we got that, foothold in it, we were able to, you know, double down and just keep trying to, you know, win the ball as much as possible. But with Shrewsbury, you know, they did pose a bit more of a, you know, they were playing a bit differently, so we weren't able to do that as much. But we were still able to win the game. Back in the previous regime, yeah, I felt like when we went 1-0 up sometimes, obviously it depended on the game, but you would more than likely see us sit back on the ball, try and control the rest of the game. Even if we were playing quite well, we would end up sitting, you know, we get the goal and then, you know, halfway through the game, we'd sort of be sat there playing a bit more cautiously. And that's one of the big things that I found under the, you know, previous manager, is that actually, when we did go one goal up, I wasn't convinced as much. That if we'd win the game, you know, we scored and great, but would we go on and actually see out the game how we should? But under Cowley, so far, under all these, you know, like Freddie said, with these games, they've all been slightly different, and we've actually approached them and come out with the, you know, correct result at the end. And that is something that I didn't have as much confidence in the previous manager.
Without a doubt, you know, the confidence flowing with the new manager, with the setup of this new team, and you know, the different circumstances, but Pompey are finding ways to win during these matches. And speaking of confidence, Freddie, Ryan Tunnicliffe, we spoke about it on Tuesday night. We spoke about it on Monday night. We're going to continue to bang the drum. What a signing. And he got the goal that he so thoroughly deserved in midweek. And it was a great goal. It was a really well-worked move and really, you know, emphasised Pompey's ambition this season to play real nice football on the floor. Nice quick interchanges with the players, linking up the triangles, building from the back. And that goal epitomised what Danny Cowley's new team is all about.
Oh, absolutely. Ryan Tellicliffe has been excellent this first few games. Many people didn't see that, especially when he was at Luton. He was given a more sort of safer centre midfielder role where he wasn't always tasked to go up the pitch as much. He was mainly about winning the ball back and passing. But no, he seems to have a proper box-to-box freer role under the Cowleys where he's always going into the challenges, but he's also moving into the space, always giving another passing option, especially to harness for Tanaka's goal against Shrewsbury. He took that very well on his wrong foot as well. I couldn't have asked for a better set of performances than that.
Yeah. Dave Byrne on the emails got in touch tonight. Good evening to you, Dave. Thanks for getting in touch. First 11 still needs additions. Rico is still developing and can't yet be regarded as a reliable regular. Also, I'm still not convinced that we have enough goals in us with John Marquis or Ellis Harrison. Ghassan Hadmi and Hurst could both be useful, but again, I'm not totally convinced they can be regarded as reliable regulars, although I would like to see Hurst a bit more as he sounds like a different option. I'm still hoping for Ben Thompson to come in if one of our current players is sold, but yes, a bit more going forward in the starting 11 and more cover at the back is needed. The thoughts of Dave in Liss on the emails there. And we've got one here from Paul O'Neill on Facebook. Tuesday wasn't that convincing, but we found a way, which is a good sign. Moving on to Doncaster, even though they've lost their first three games, is always a hard place to go. If we press high and play to our strengths, I think we're going to win 2-1. So impressed by the Cowleys and the team so far this season. And see you up there, play up Pompey, Paul O'Neill on Facebook. And yes, you will see us up there, Paul. Really looking forward to that 5.5 hour train journey tomorrow morning. It's going to be an early one, but we'd all do it over and over again, wouldn't we? Okay, then let's hear now from the man who is winning more admirers in Portsmouth as the weeks go on. Danny Cowley spoke to Ollie Marsh after the full-time whistle on Tuesday night to deliver his assessment of the game.
I think we found a way, which is good. Obviously a really good way into the game. I thought we made a really good start, found the goal, and then probably just didn't quite find the energy and intensity that we would have liked against a really difficult opponent. I thought they were incredibly direct, incredibly physical, asked lots of questions of our defensive line. I thought we defended our box and our goal really, really well. I thought Sean Raggett was outstanding. Great to keep another clean sheet, always an 11-man job. And yeah, we lost some control in the second half. I think if we're honest, we're pleased with the resilience we showed, but we need to play better than that if we want to achieve what we want to this season.
You did seem relatively comfortable, though, maybe up until the 8 minutes of added time where you had to hang on a little bit.
Yeah, I think it was 11 minutes by the time. I think he was enjoying himself, Trevor Kettle. I'm pleased he was. I think, it wasn't the way we wanted to finish the game. We like to try to play with more control than that. But when you lose the momentum like we did in sort of towards the end of the game, then you have to try to see it out. And, yeah, we did that and we're pleased about that. But if we're staying true to ourselves and we're staying talking about process and not performance, there's some things that we can do better in the process.
It's that man Ryan Tunnicliffe again, 3 assists and 1 goal for the season now. Did you anticipate him becoming such a talismanic figure for yourself?
Well, I expected him to be a good player for us. Yeah, that's why we signed him. I thought, yeah, he drove the team on again tonight. Scored a lovely goal, really well-worked goal, double pass with Marcus and a lovely left-footed finish. And yeah, I thought we played in a slightly different way tonight. We didn't quite play with the same penetration as we would have liked. I thought first half we had good control, but was a bit too slow with our play. And sometimes if you're too slow with your play and you make too many passes in your own half, then the attacking players lose their positional discipline, come to the ball, and then you don't have the penetration that you need. And that was probably the issue first half. Obviously, it's not easy when you lose two players at half-time. We lost Marcus to an impact injury on his quad, and we lost Clark to an impact injury on his ankle. So when you have to make two subs at half-time, that can throw your rhythm and your fluency. And it probably did that. I thought Ghassan and Connor come on in a really difficult game and did really well, but we can play better than that, for sure.
Yeah, and you mentioned Clark and Marcus there. Were they just sort of light knocks?
Yeah, we hope so. You know, Clark was keen to play on. I think he came out I had a couple of runs just at the end of half time and then felt that it wouldn't be possible. And obviously they ask a huge amount of questions. Sam Cosgrove is a real handful at the top end of the pitch. They look to him at every opportunity. They look to get runners off of him. And they're a very difficult team to play against. And we probably got drawn into that a little bit. And yeah, there's definitely some learning for us to take from that game. But listen, we're pleased to win. And we're pleased that while we are still developing, that we are finding a way to win. But as I say, we aim to play better than that. That's always our ambition.
Just finally, though, you must be happy with Gavin Bazunu's performance, especially that save from the header in the second half.
Yeah, that looked a top-class save. Probably the only real save that he had to make. And that's testament to the defending in front of him. But yeah, when called upon, that's what the top goalkeepers do. And it was a terrific save down to his left. And yeah, it allowed us to keep another clean sheet. And when you keep clean sheets, you always give yourself a chance of winning games.
Head coach Danny Cowley speaking there after the Blues put one past Shrewsbury to make it three league wins from three and go top of the League One table. And Reece, right at the very end of that interview, Danny Cowley there speaking very highly of Gavin Bazunu in between the sticks for the Blues on Tuesday night. And what a game he had. I'm going to put it out there, undoubtedly my man of the match.
100%. I mean, that save right at the end was, you know, incredible, especially when you think, oh, it's right at the back end of the game. We're only 1-0 ahead. It was, I think it was a sort of a bit of a mistake that led to them able to put the cross in. For him to be called to action like that and to pull that off, especially when, he didn't have loads to do in the game. So it could have been easy for him to sort of perhaps switch off a bit, or a goalkeeper to maybe switch off, but he didn't, and he kept on it, and that was great, because that ultimately could have saved us 2 points there. And you know, especially after not starting the season, Bass was in, for him to come out and for him to do that as well is just great. And you know, hopefully he's earned his position.
And you can definitely see why Manchester City want to keep hold of him for the time being, can't you, Freddie? Fantastic shot stopper, really, really quick reactions, and a bit of a sweeper keeper at times as well. Really likes to come out of his box and command his own half. He doesn't allow, you know, the Shrewsbury attackers to get anywhere near his goal. And when they do, like we say, pulls off some incredible saves. Certainly kept Pompey in the match on Tuesday night. And you can see why they're looking to develop him, you know, in the lower leagues. Great season for Rochdale last time out. And so far, putting in some good performances for Pompey.
Yeah, you can definitely see why he's getting Republic of Ireland caps as well. That's a big sign, him being at such a young age and getting those international call-ups and appearances. He's earned his net, and he's earned his number one shirt. I can see now why Bazunu was brought in. Obviously, a lot of fans were a bit anxious with McGilvery leaving, because he had an exceptional season and his shot-stopping was very good. But Bazunu's command of his area, a range of distribution, and yeah, the role stylistically wise, a proper sweeper keeper, which Danny Cowley obviously wanted. I feel a bit sorry for Bass, because I don't think he did much wrong to lose a starting spot like that. I think it was more just Bazunu's great play that forced him out, I think.
Yeah, and really, you know, as much as we've got high praise for Gavin Bazunu, the Man City loanee, Reece, it was a real first test on Tuesday night. Really didn't have much to deal with at all in the way of shots, at least last Saturday against Crewe. So when thrown kind of into that game after having, you know, he could have pitched up a tent at Fratton Park last weekend and sat there and read a book for the entire 90 minutes and we still wouldn't have conceded. But for that first real test on Tuesday, some real good signs of a good player. Really, as Freddie mentions, though, it's harsh on Alex Bass, who himself is a great goalkeeper, but just at the moment can't get into the team because we've got another one playing so well.
Exactly, yeah. I think Bass has always been solid for us. And, you know, when he was playing and McGilvray wasn't last season, in fact, the last few seasons, you know, when they were alternating, he's been good, but there was certain elements to his game, I think, at the start of this season here. You know, I watched him in pre-season and at the start of the season, I don't know, that you can see the difference that Bazunu had in the first game against Shrewsbury. It's not so much that, like you say, Bass has done anything wrong, but there is just that different class that's showing through. Yes, he fits the Cowley's way of playing a bit more. But yeah, I do feel a little bit sorry for him, but that's ultimately can drive a player on. You know, if Mazzuni has this spot, now Bass has got to work harder to, try and get that spot as well. And the competition drives each other. But yeah, I don't think Bass has really put too much of a foot wrong, but you can definitely see the difference between them.
Yeah, certainly. Okay, we'll revisit those thoughts very shortly, lads, but for now it's time to head to our second and final ad break of the evening. When we return, we'll be delving a little deeper into tomorrow's opponents, Doncaster, as well as providing our own preview to a game up in South Yorkshire too. Keep those text, tweets and emails coming in to us from back home. We're now looking for your score predictions for this weekend's match. As always, it's 81400 on the text, starting your messages with the word Express. Pompey@expressfm.com is how you can email in. Otherwise, you can include @expressfm in your tweets or find us over at facebook.com/Pompey Live. Myself, Reese, and Freddie will be back before you know it for the third and final part of tonight's show. You're listening to Express FM. Stick around for the conclusion of the Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7. Express FM.
Welcome back for the final time tonight to the Football Hour, on which we have already reviewed the events of Tuesday night and are now moving on to look ahead to the next challenge. Doncaster Rovers are the opposition for match day number 4 of this new League One campaign. Mason Jordan has all you need to know on the threat they are likely to pose upon Pompey.
The Blues are on a hot run of form at the moment and sit top of League One following 3 wins from their opening 3 matches, all without conceding. Up next, Danny Cowley takes his side to South Yorkshire and the Keepmoat Stadium, home of Doncaster Rovers.
Pompey Live, this week's opposition.
Pompey claimed victory in midweek when they defeated Shrewsbury Town by a 0-0 at Fratton Park, where midfield sensation Ryan Tunnicliffe netted his first goal of the season. Donny are the next challenge, so let's take a little dive deeper into the key names and numbers behind the side, much changed from the one that beat the Blues 2-0 in this fixture last term.
Manager.
Former Blackpool, Leicester and Doncaster midfielder Richie Wellens is now the man in the dugout for the Donny. The 41-year-old was appointed at the Keepmoat Stadium on the 17th of May of this year, having represented Salford City between November and March of last season. His first taste of management came at Oldham Athletic in 2017. He lasted just 9 months, winning 14 out of a possible 43 competitive fixtures before moving on to Swindon Town in November of 2018. He spent 2 years at the County Ground, guiding the Robins to promotion as champions from League 2 in 2020. That was following the decision to end the campaign through an unweighted points-per-game system as COVID had ground the country to a standstill. Wellens has only taken charge of 4 competitive Doncaster matches and has yet to see out a win, losing 3 of those matches.
One to watch.
Rovers have 3 former Pompey players currently in their ranks, Ben Close, Omar Bogle and Geordie Hawula. They're the trio now playing their trade in South Yorkshire, having previously spent time on the South Coast. However, Hawula is a doubt for the game through injury. Omar Bogle has not yet completed a full 90 minutes this season, and Ben Close is pipped to the post in this category by the heavily experienced Tom Rowe, who also joined Doncaster this summer. The 32-year-old former Peterborough midfielder has over 300 Football League games under his belt across a playing career spanning 14 years and counting. Rowe, who was also at the club between 2016 and 2019 before spending 2 years with Bristol City in the Championship, has played every league minute so far this season. He's expected to be solid mainstay in Richie Wellens' team. For those at the game or keeping a watchful eye elsewhere, Tommy Rowe will be wearing the number 10 red and white shirt.
Top score.
Doncaster have found the net just once this season, covering all 3 of their league fixtures to date and the Carabao Cup clash against Walsall. That singular goal belongs to right-back Charlie Seaman, who opened the scoring on the first day of the season in a game which ended 2-1 at the hands of Wimbledon. The 21-year-old defender has only featured once for Doncaster, that being the game. Since then, he has not been in the Donny squad, which could explain why they haven't scored in the three matches since.
Current form.
Doncaster have failed to even pick up a point this season and, as mentioned already, have scored just one goal in the league and cup. Richie Welland's side sit in 23rd in the table with 0 points, having fallen to defeats to Wimbledon, Sheffield Wednesday and Accrington already. Although they did manage to scrape past to League 2 Walsall in the cup, though even then they needed a penalty shootout to do so. Can Pompey make it 4 wins from 4, or will Donny finally get their season started? All the unmissable action on Pompey Live.
A closer look there at Doncaster Rovers with Mason Jordan, who is back on the airwaves here on Express FM tomorrow evening from 6 with the local music show. Let's bring Rhys and Freddie back into the conversation now. And looking ahead to Doncaster tomorrow then, Rhys, and two players who we're hearing will not be available for the opponents this weekend is former Pompey striker Jordi Hawula and Fijiri Okunabiri, who's in recent seasons provided a real threat to pretty much every team in this division. So a little bit of a boost for Pompey heading into the game.
Definitely. I think that, you know, when you are missing players, whether they're key players or not, you're either losing a member of your first team or you're missing an option to bring off the bench or whatever. So, you know, any player that's out for them, whether they were ex-Pompey or not, it could be good in our favour. But as well as that, their record of 3 losses in the league, for them to have any players out as well, that's just adding on bad news for them. To be quite honest, hopefully tomorrow for us should be a relatively good game for us, considering their start. Whether they're missing players or not, really their start to the season speaks for itself. Hopefully that it should be a win for us, but
looking at the table as well, Freddie, they really have had such a poor start to the season. And as Rhys mentions, as Mason mentions within that feature there, 0 points on the table after 3 games, only 1 goal scored, which was in their opening match. They took the lead, but they ended up losing to Wimbledon anyway. 5 conceded, 0 points on the board, -4 goal difference, 23rd on the table. Pompey, on the other hand, top, 3 wins from 3, 4 goals scored, 0 conceded. Only 1 of 2 teams who have yet to concede a goal this season, the other being Sheffield Wednesday. 9 points at the top of the table, and Doncaster Rovers, we speak about earlier in the show about how, you know, we can't get too carried away now with Pompey being top of the table, and we're certainly not going to do that. The same with Doncaster. They may be 23rd in the league. They may not yet have a point, but they always provide a very stern test, particularly at the Keep Moat. We've only won once in the last 10 travels there. So it's not going to be an easy game by any stretch of the imagination.
It'll be a bit harder, I think, especially away from home. But I think Doncaster are a gettable team, and I think probably have the potential to get a result there. Like you mentioned, Fijiri Okunabiri is a big miss for them because he's the outlet for the 4-3-3 that Richie Wellens wants to play. John Taylor as well at right wing might not be available as well, so that's a start. They're definitely a team in transition as well. They're focused on using a lot of the loan market aggressively to fill out most of their squad for the better players, and they're switching direction. They've signed more players on permanence this summer, so they look like a team in transition who are working with a new manager, and that just seems like the perfect team for Portsmouth to play at the moment, where the opposition isn't fully ready and Pompey have got out of the gate very quickly. So I think they should be able to capitalise on Doncaster not having much going forward.
Daniel Seymour on Facebook's got in touch tonight. Think tomorrow will be a tough test. It hasn't been a favoured ground in recent years, but I think the confidence will be there to bring back the points. Daniel Seymour on Facebook. And Gav Jones on Twitter. Good evening, gents. Speaking of Bazunu, it is so nice to have a keeper that is quite obviously a few levels above. It's clear to see he's been coached at City, judging from his distribution and use of his feet just in general. His positioning is also on point. Gav Jones on Twitter there. One player within the Doncaster Rovers ranks tomorrow, Rhys, will be Ben Close. And we're all too familiar with what Ben Close can provide to a team. how did Pompey try and keep him quiet? Because we all know the story. We go to a team who have got a former Pompey player within their ranks, particularly one that has only just recently left, and they put in the game of their lives. How did Pompey stop Ben Close from being another one of those players?
It's the story that keeps repeating itself, isn't it? But we just got to treat him like, you know, he's part of the Doncaster team now, and we know how. Obviously, we know more about him than other players, just because he's played for us. But we've really got to just not single him out too much, because then, you know, you don't want to put the pressure on, like he's like a key player we've got to look out for. I really do think that tomorrow, if we just go and we take the game and we play, you know, just we play how we've been playing, or how we want to set up and everything, and we just go for the game and not worry about him, then I don't think he'll be too much of an issue. Because, you know, it's when you start singling out these players and you start thinking, oh, Close, you know, oh, I bet he's going to score against us tomorrow, blah, 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 blah. You know, as soon as you start doing that, then you start putting doubt. And I think that, you know, he's a good player and everything, but there's a reason why we let him go, and we've got to now face him, and, you know, we've got to play well against him. Yeah. But
very fair comments there about Ben Close. And it could be argued, really, Freddie, that in the past couple of seasons, Doncaster have failed to replace John Marquis, who, of course, now at Pompey, failed to replace his goals and what he brought to the team. But now they're going to have to deal with life without James Coppinger, someone who featured over 800 times for Doncaster Rovers in a career spanning over 15 years at the club. We speak about Ben Close and how he's now, you know, part of that midfield cog. But also the issues at the club, which run a little bit deeper. We hear from fans on social media and murmurs from Doncaster that, you know, in terms of financial backing, probably not getting as much as the supporters would like, which is why they're probably not in the Championship at the moment, and why they were relegated to League Two a few years back and now just kind of lingering in League One. Is this a side you expect to be at the top end of the table this season, despite all of that going against them?
I think they're a side that look more like a mid-table side so far. Like I mentioned, they're a side in transition, bringing in a lot of new players. James Coppinger's a massive miss for them. Mm-hmm. Not just because of all his appearances. That's the face of their dressing room, gone completely. And for any team, it's going to take a long time to replace his influence on and off the pitch. But I think Richie Wellens has the potential to implement a more attractive style of football. But that'll take some time, especially since, well, like you mentioned, they might not be as financially backed as the fans would have wanted.
Yeah. An email here from Graham Wilkins. Thank you for getting in touch, Graham. Good evening, Jake. Hi, all. I thought it was another good showing on Tuesday night, and also a sterner test against a Shrewsbury side that is better than the table shows at present. So even after scoring early, I thought we defended well, with Raggett my man of the match, with Bazunu, a very good keeper who made a fantastic save at the Milton end. Yes, we haven't played the so good bigger teams as yet, but 9 points from 3 games is a great start and bodes well for the future matches and gives us a cushion. Hoping we can go into the Doncaster game with an unchanged team, depending on injuries, and I'm going for another 1-0 win tomorrow with a Ben Close own goal. If not, Curtis to get his first goal of the new season. Graham Wilkins there on the emails. And yes, speaking of injuries, we've heard from Danny Cowley in the weeks since that game at home to Shrewsbury on Tuesday night. Of course, Marcus Harness and Clark Robertson both came off at half-time with what Danny Cowley described as impact injuries, and just knocks, and really taking precautions to ensure that they weren't, you know, worsened any further. So looking at those two players, Freddie, Marcus Harness, Clark Robertson, two players you really do not want missing this weekend. And hopefully, you know, by the sounds that are coming out of the club and Danny Cowley, it sounds as though they are going to be fine.
Yeah, they'll be a big miss if they won't be able to play. I think at the start of the season, it's imperative that you play you figure out your strongest starting 11 as soon as possible. And I think Danny Cowley's found that, and you just get minutes under their belt to just improve the cohesion and the partnerships in the midfield and at the back as well. also, there's no reason to rush Robertson and Harness back fit if they're not, I don't think. But if they're fit, I think Kelly has to play them.
Yeah. Alan Swift on the emails, the final email of the evening. Hi, everyone. Having looked at Doncaster's goal difference of -4 and ours at 4, with goals scored not impressive, I have to go for a 2-0 win tomorrow. We're not creating enough goal chances, in my view, with maybe it's the system again with only one up front. OK, our 4 goals have been spread, but I'd like to see more created. Anyone recall the old Leeds team of the 70s? Only one goal a game was enough for them. Could that reoccur again with us? I'd still prefer 4-4 or even 3-5-2 to control the midfield with two up top. Where is Joe Morrell fitting in all of this? A very luxury sub. I think maybe that in the 3-5-2. Cheers, keep well and safe, Alan in Southsea on the emails then. Right then, let's wrap up with some score predictions, and we're going to start off with you, Rhys. Pompey, away to Doncaster tomorrow. Can the Blues make it 4 wins from 4? What is your score prediction, mate?
Not only am I going to say 4 wins from 4, but I'm going to say another clean sheet as well, because, you know, we're riding a high now. I think we can keep it going. I will say 2-0 win to Pompey.
2-0 win to Pompey tomorrow. Any particular goal scorers, any particular player you think is going to have a good game tomorrow?
I'm going to say Curtis. Curtis will score.
Certainly a reoccurring theme of the evening. Ronan Curtis has been pipped to bag his first goal of the season tomorrow afternoon, as Rhys has mentioned there as well. Rhys, thank you very much for calling in tonight. Have a great weekend, and I'm sure we'll speak to you again soon.
You too. Play at Pompey.
Freddie, what are you going for, my friends?
I think Rhys just took the words out of my mouth. I had a 2-0 win as well, considering that Doncaster were light up front. Curtis has played really well, doing everything except score, so I hope he's going to open his account. I think John Marcus will get his second goal this evening as well.
Brilliant. And likewise, Freddie, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you join us this evening. Catch up with you soon, I'm sure we will, and see you later. Have a safe weekend, mate.
Thank you very much, Jake.
And so it's on the record. My prediction is I'm going to go for a 1-0 Pompey win. I'm going to go with the majority on social media. I think it's going to be another 3 points for Pompey without reply. I think we're going to get the job done yet again. Well, that is all we've got time for tonight, I'm afraid. But do join us again soon. We will be live on air from 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon with full build-up, live kick-by-kick commentary, half-time analysis and post-match reaction of the Blues' next game. Match day number 4 is almost here, and it's Doncaster Rovers who play the role of the hosts at the Keepmoat Stadium in Skybet League One. The season continues to go on for the Blues. As always, we very much look forward to welcoming you along for another Pompey match day. And it's just myself and the Viking, Ryan Stilwell, for tomorrow's game. Liam is having a well-deserved weekend off, but we'll be back for the next one, Wigan away the following week. Once again, thank you to everyone who tuned in tonight, as well as, of course, those who got involved with the conversation on the text, tweets and emails. We have an exciting range of shows going out over the course of this weekend, certainly some you will not want to miss. Ian McGuinness returns from 8 o'clock tomorrow morning with Saturday Breakfast, before handing over to Lily Park at 11. Mason Jordan presents the local music show between 6 and 7. He'll be talking to Billy, the organiser of the Golden Touch Festival, as well as revealing this week's top 10 from the local music chart. Abba Tremaine is back with Decades Party between 7 and 11 tomorrow night, taking you through the greatest hits from the 70s through to the noughties. And then DJ Turner James will be in the mix through the night with nothing but the best floor fillers. If you were late joining us tonight or just fancy listening back to the show, you can do just that by visiting expressfm.com/podcast, where you can also revisit previous editions of the Football Hour. Have yourselves a great evening, Pompey fans. Enjoy your weekend too, and we hope to hear from you again tomorrow. Connor Mosley is up next with Express Floor Fillers right the way through until 11 o'clock this evening. And from myself, until tomorrow, play at Pompey, and good night. Have a great weekend.